and welcome to the Reaching for the Hem Conference webcast. I am so excited that you decided to come and join us today. I really believe that God is going to bless us and that He is going to just give us some practical ways to connect with Him. And one of the first things that I really want to make sure that everyone did is to print out the spiritual growth game plan that I sent everyone. There's actually an activity at the end of the handout that I sent you. Once you open it, when you flip back a couple pages, you'll see something that says Reaching for the Hem, free online Christian conference, my plan for Christian spiritual growth. And there is actually an activity that we're going to be doing kind of together as we wrap up the conference here. And so I just wanted to make sure that everyone has printed that out. If you haven't printed it out, then just make sure that you have it in your mind that after we're done today, that you're going to go ahead and print that out, because it is very, very important that we have a game plan. You know, one of the things that we're going to talk about today, and we're not going to get into anything really until we go ahead and pray and open up with prayer, but one of the things that we are really going to focus on today is having a plan. Because if you don't plan, you know, you always hear people say, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And that is true in really all areas of your life, including your spiritual walk. And if you don't have an actual plan in your mind of what you're going to do, then it's really easy to fall into old habits. Now, one interesting thing that is going on today is, for some reason, the slides function was not necessarily functioning as well as we would have liked. So what I will do is, once we're finished with the conference, then I'll just go ahead and email everyone kind of like a little handout that has all the slides on them. But with that said, what help is that if you pull out a piece of paper and an ink pen, if you printed out your little handout that I sent you, then you can actually just use that handout. But that will help you to remember the things that we're going to be talking about today, because really you only hear a very small percentage, you only remember a very small percentage of what you hear. You remember a lot more when you actually write things down. So I really want to encourage you to grab an ink pen and a piece of paper, preferably the workbook that I sent out, so that you can write out the different things that we're going to cover today. And like I said, I will go ahead and send everyone a copy of the slides. The slides were more just kind of a guideline for me so that I can stay focused and don't ramble on too much, because I know that people, you know, I have things to do, so I don't want to be here too long, but I do really want to take the time to wrap up the conference properly. And so right now I'm just kind of stalling a little bit, because I know people have interesting senses of time, so sometimes people don't show up exactly when they're supposed to, so I at least wanted to give everyone a good 5 minutes before we started. So we've hit that 5 minute mark, and there's already several people who have arrived, so I don't want you all who have arrived to have to wait any longer. So we're going to go ahead and open up with prayer. If you could just close your eyes and just relax and open your hearts and your mind to the Lord. Lord, we glorify you today. We lift you up and we praise you, because you alone are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, and we know that we are created to have an intimate relationship with you, Lord, and we don't want anything to stand in the way of that relationship with you. We don't want there to be walls that are separating us from you, Lord. We know that you don't put those walls up, but we put those walls up, and that means that we are the ones who have to be responsible for coming to you and allowing you to begin tearing down those walls and taking off that baggage that we've been carrying. So, Lord, we just ask that you would speak to me and tell me the words that you would have for me to say for your people, Lord, that they will be blessed. We ask that you send your spirit and that your spirit just travels through the internet, travels through the phone lines, and sits with your people, and that you would speak to them each individually, Lord. Even as I am speaking, we ask that you would speak to them as individuals, that you will guide them and show them the areas in their own lives that you want to begin changing and molding. If you would show them specific things that they can do in their own life, Lord, that will help them to connect with you in a deeper, more intimate way. We know that Jesus died. He went to the cross so that man would no longer have to be separated from God. And so we don't want him to have died in vain. We want to take hold of everything that Jesus died to give us. We do not take that sacrifice for granted. And so today we just all reach out by faith together and grab hold of the hem of the Master's garment. We just reach out by faith together and touch you, Lord. And we ask that you would refill us, just give us a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. If there are any of us who are on the call that have not been filled with your Spirit, we ask that you would fill them with your Spirit today, Lord, and that they would have a new sense of purpose in you and a new sense of understanding of the person of God. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are excited. I know I'm excited, and I'm excited because I believe that God is calling us all to a deeper relationship with him. I believe that he's been doing this for a while, but it just seems like the more and more that I talk to people, people are just feeling the Spirit drawing them. It's like they feel something inside of themselves that's just saying, you know what, something's missing. Something's missing. I want more out of this life. There's more to this life than I'm experiencing. There's more to my relationship with God than I'm experiencing, and I want all of it. And so I'm really grateful for you. I'm grateful for your heart to seek the Lord. And we're going to learn today how to begin tearing down those walls that have been separating us from God, how to begin doing that. Not just, you know, we just had an awesome conference, and I praise God for all the speakers at the conference. I know I'm sure everyone hasn't had a chance to go through all of the seminars, but I pray that you will go back and go through the different seminars, and that should be something that you write down on your game plan, that you are going to go back to the seminars. That's one of the reasons that I believe God had me create the conference online in such a way where everyone has their own login and password, where they can go back in and go through the conference as many times as they want to. They can go through it at their own pace. And so I really want you to utilize that resource. It's totally free. There's nothing that you have to do but just sit down and log on and allow God to change you and to renew you and restore you through his word. And so I really want to encourage you to do that. But even after that, you still have to have a game plan for how you are going to seek the Lord, how you are going to connect with him. You know, God wants us all to have a deeper relationship with him. He wants you personally. I want you to feel as if I'm talking directly to you, because I am. He wants you personally to develop a relationship with him that totally transforms every area of your life. A relationship with him where you can just, where everywhere you go, you're in the presence of the Lord, and where other people who are around you are blessed just because they're in your presence and God is with you. And God is with all of us as believers, but some of us allow his power to be seen and some of us don't. And so I believe that he's calling you. You know, if you're tuning in right now, I believe it's because God's put on your heart that he wants you to go deeper. And that's not something that's automatic. If it was automatic, then every Christian that you meet would have a relationship with the Lord. And a lot of times you meet Christians and they know of God, but they don't know God. And, you know, I heard a lot of people talking about that in the forums over the last few days, that they grew up in church, but they never really had an intimate relationship with God. And that's because a lot of people know of God, but they don't know him. You know, it's just like if you have someone and you have a friend and they're always telling you about this other friend that they have, but you've never actually met that person. Regardless of how much they talk about them, they could show you video, they could show you, you know, pictures, they could do whatever they want. But if you have not met them for yourself, you don't know them. And God wants you to know him. And there's work involved in that. You know, when we think about developing any type of relationship, whether it's a marital relationship, whether it's a relationship with our children, whether it's a relationship with our friends, any relationship, if you want that to be a strong relationship, it's going to take effort. And, you know, Jesus already did his half of the work. You know, what do I mean by that? Well, if we go back to the beginning, when God created man and woman and Adam and Eve sinned and they fell and they were separated from the presence of the Lord, Jesus died so that we would no longer have to be separated from the presence of the Lord. You know, when you look in the Old Testament talks about there being a veil, and there was a veil that separated the Israelites from being able to be in the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord was behind the veil in the Ark of the Covenant. But the believers could not go beyond the veil. But the Bible says that when Jesus died, the veil was ripped. What does ripped mean? The veil was torn open. I mean, I want you to visually close your eyes and just visualize there just being a red veil and that veil just being torn open from top to bottom. And what that opening there, that is your opening. That opening that you see right there is your opening for you to walk into the presence of the Lord, for you to walk into intimacy with the Lord, for you to be able to connect with him. So the price has already been paid. You don't have to repay the price. You don't have, you know, we talked a lot this week about you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be willing to do what it takes to submit yourself to the will of the Lord. So you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be willing. God's not looking for perfect creations. If he was, none of us would be worthy. None of us would fit the bill. But he's looking for people who are saying, Lord, I'm not perfect, but I'm willing to allow you to change me. I'm willing to come before you on a daily basis and allow you to change my heart. Because God is a gentleman. He's not going to force his way into your life. He's not going to force you to submit to him. He's not going to force you to renew your mind. He's not going to force you to study your word. He's not going to force you to pray or to keep a prayer journal. He is going to wait as a gentleman and allow you to come to him. I mean, if you think about it, when you have a relationship with someone, if you always have to be the person to call that person on the phone, how close do you really feel to them? You know, you feel like you're always the one making the call. God doesn't want to always be the one making the call. He wants you to seek him. You know, the Bible says if you seek him, you will find him if you seek him with your whole heart. And so we have to get past the point where we're half-heartedly seeking the Lord, when we're seeking him when it's convenient. You know, a lot of us, we seek the Lord when it's convenient. We seek the Lord on Sunday, and we seek the Lord, you know, maybe there's a Tuesday Bible study, but if we're not in the church, then it's almost like we just kind of take our Christian hat off. But God's calling you to go deeper than that. God's calling you to a place where you don't have to go into a building to feel like you're in church, because you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is where he dwells. Your body is the church. Okay, you have to get to a point where you realize the Spirit is where you are. The Spirit isn't where you go. You don't have to go somewhere to be in the presence of the Lord. You don't have to go somewhere else to learn about God and to study his word. You know, sometimes we feel like if we're not ministers or we're not in the ministry, that we don't really know how to study God's word. Well, that's not really true, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. If you ask him to teach you how to study the word, then he will teach you how to study the word. He will guide you in your study. And we're going to talk about a little bit today about ways to study and things like that. But the Holy Spirit is your first teacher. You know, your pastor's not your first teacher. Your Bible study teacher is not your first teacher. The speakers at the conference are not your first teacher. It's the Holy Spirit. And so you have to be able, first of all, to open your heart so that you can receive the Holy Spirit and so you can hear His voice. And then second of all, to believe that the voice that you're hearing is His. And that's a step of faith. That's a step of faith. And I don't really necessarily have a whole lot of time to go into that. And that's one of the things that I'm going to cover in the School of the Spirit's new course that we're going to be having. I'm not going to talk about that a whole lot right now. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more later. But one of the things that we're going to be going into a lot is how to hear God's voice and how to know His will for your life. But one of the key parts that a lot of Christians miss about hearing God's voice is that it's a step of faith in believing that the voice that you're hearing is the Lord. Because a lot of times what we do is that we're scared to step out and walk that thing out that He's telling us to do because we don't want to look silly or we think we're going to make a mistake or something like that. But you have to believe that God is going to cover you and He's going to cover your mistakes. If you make the mistake, but you're making it because you're trying to follow Him and you believed that that's what He said, then He's not going to let you fall flat on your face. He loves you. You know, I can't tell you how many mistakes I made planning this conference. You know, just thinking, okay, I think God wants me to do this, and you know, I start doing it, and then I feel in my spirit, no, that's not necessarily what I wanted you to do, and I have to backtrack. But you know what? People were still blessed. His will was still done. He still gets the glory for it. You know, it doesn't have to be a perfect sacrifice. It just has to be a willing one. I want to say that again, and I want you to write that down. It doesn't have to be a perfect sacrifice. It just has to be a willing one. You know, sometimes we want to pray, but we feel like, oh, I don't have time to pray for 45 minutes. And Sister So-and-so, she prays for 45 minutes. So since I can't pray like for 45 minutes like Sister So-and-so, then I'm not going to stop and pray today. You know, I'm going to pray tomorrow because tomorrow I'm going to pencil in that 45 minutes. You know what? It doesn't have to be a perfect sacrifice. It just has to be a willing one. You know, if you pray while you're in the car and you're driving on your way to work, the Lord will receive that as you seeking Him. You know, if you put your praise music on while you're in the shower, yeah, I specifically went out and bought a CD player for my bathroom. I made a conscious decision. I said, I am going to use that 10 minutes while I'm in the shower to bring glory to the Lord. I'm going to use those 10 minutes. You know, it's not a lot of time, but God will receive that time, and it is time that I can sow into my spiritual growth. And so I'm going to reserve that time to seek Him. And you know what? It doesn't have to be huge. A lot of times we don't do things because we think that they have to be huge, so we don't do the small things that we can do on a daily basis. You know, if you spent 10 minutes every day in the shower and during having personal worship time and your time alone with the Lord, how much difference would that make in the rest of your day? How much more peace would you have in the rest of your day? How much more joy would you have in the rest of your day? How much more would you be able to control your thoughts throughout the rest of your day? Why would you be able to do those things? Because those are different things that are fruits of the Spirit. And you get the fruits of the Spirit from being in the presence of God's Spirit. So if you want to develop the fruits of the Spirit, you have to make opportunities to where you can be in the presence of God's Spirit. Yes, His Spirit is with you all the time. He said He won't leave you or forsake you. He's there. The Bible says that He is living with you. But we don't always receive that and experience it. So until you get to the point where you do feel His presence on a regular basis, you have to actually carve out time where you're practicing His presence. I like to call it practicing His presence. You're practicing. You're actively practicing being in the presence of the Lord. You're practicing hearing His voice. You're practicing praying to Him. You're practicing clearing your mind of all the clutter and the loud voices. You're practicing that. And so you need to find little pieces of time. Yes, the large pieces of time are great. Yes, you want to be able to devote those large pieces of time. But you know what? It's better to have 10 minutes than not have any. And how many of us put those 10 minutes off because we think, okay, tomorrow I'm really going to take out some time. Tomorrow I'm going to carve out an hour and I'm just going to study my word. Well, you know what? One of the best times to study your word, especially if you have a day job, is during your lunch hour. You can take 10 to 15 minutes of your lunch hour and have dedicated Bible study in your car, in your office, at your desk, wherever. You can have 10 minutes of dedicated Bible study every single day. Well, 10 minutes is not enough. God can do a lot in your life in 10 minutes. He can do a lot in your mind in 10 minutes. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to bring things down to where you understand that there are practical things that you can do on a daily basis that are going to help you seek the Lord more regularly. Because when we allow things to seem so big, then we're less likely to do them. And I mean, I'm just being real, right? You know, if we can all just be real. We've all set lofty goals for how long we're going to pray and how much of the Bible we're going to read. And then we weren't able to be consistent. But it's, you know, if you only do it, if you read your Bible 10 minutes a day during your lunch hour, at the end of the week, you've read for 50 minutes. That's almost an hour. That's the same as if you would have sat down for 1 hour a week and done it. But you were able to break it down in bite-sized pieces and do something that you would be able to be consistent at. And that's just really key. It's really key that you allow yourself to set aside time to just be in the presence of the Lord and to experience all that He has to offer and to experience His transforming power. You know, most Christians don't have fulfilling relationships with God. And the reason that is because they are so busy. You know, I like to think of busy as being a four-letter word. I like to think of, and it really is, busy is a four-letter word. You know, people say that it stands for bound under Satan's yoke or busy being under Satan's yoke. Why? Because when you're busy, you are so consumed with the cares of this world that you constantly put off the only thing that is going to make you able to deal with the cares of the world. You get so wrapped up, when people are busy, you're so wrapped up in the day-to-day that you forget to go to the place where you get the strength to live out the day-to-day. And so a lot of times people will say, you know, I don't have time. I don't have time to study my word. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time. Well, you know what? You really don't have time not to. You really don't have time not to. Because when you take the time to press in and experience the Lord, then it makes every single thing that you do outside of that bear more fruit. You know, it takes less time to do all the other things because God's with you and He's guiding you. You know, you're able to make decisions more quickly. You're able, you know, all of a sudden there isn't any traffic on your way to work. All of a sudden, you know, your children are behaving better, so it doesn't take as much time to discipline them. All of a sudden, your marriage is going better. You know, when you take the time out to put first things first, everything else flows more freely. The reason people are so busy and so anxious and so stressed out is because they're letting the tail wag the dog. They're letting their physical life put restraints on their spiritual life. They're letting their physical life control their spiritual life when it's supposed to be the other way around. They're letting the tail wag the dog. Your spiritual life should be what's controlling your physical life, not the other way around. And the only way you're going to be able to flip those things back in order is if you slow down enough to start thinking, okay, what am I going to do? How often am I going to do it? You know, some of the things that we have to do in order to develop our relationship with the Lord, one of the most difficult things about that is that most of the things aren't comfortable. And if we're being honest, most of them can actually be emotionally painful. You know, when we talked about earlier this week about just going to the Lord and totally, you know, totally naked, unafraid, and unashamed. And when you do that, there's a sense of vulnerability there. And there's a sense of vulnerability, and when there's a sense of vulnerability, there's always the concern that you're going to be hurt. There's always the concern that you're exposing and you're leaving yourself open to being hurt. And so a lot of the things that we have to do in order to deepen our relationship with the Lord, the two biggest challenges is that, number one, it takes time. And most of us in our busy schedules haven't disciplined ourselves enough to slow down and spend time with the Lord and take that time out. And then number two, it could be painful. You know, you have to look at things that you don't want to look at. You have to look at behaviors in yourself that you don't want to look at. You have to bring up memories that you haven't quite dealt with yet and that they're kind of still there and they're still lurking under the surface. You have to go into some areas that are painful. But, you know, the thing about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is your comforter. And as you enter into those places that are uncomfortable, He will bring you comfort. You know, you'll find liberty as you begin taking off those chains that have been binding you. You'll find liberty as you begin walking out of the jails and the incarceration that Satan's been trying to keep you in. You'll really begin to experience the joy and the peace and the love and the sound mind that God has in store for you. You know, one of the things that we have to do is instead of trying to fit God into our lives, we have to start fitting our lives into God. We have to start shaping our schedules and our daily life around spending that time with the Lord. You know, one of the things that I started doing was keeping a prayer journal. And one of the reasons, and this is something that I would recommend to everyone, if you, especially if you like to write. You know, I'm one of those people, I like to write, so this works really well for me. But even if you don't like to write, keeping a prayer journal is really helpful because it allows you to write down the things that are coming to your heart that you want to say to the Lord. You know, what I notice that some people do is whenever they keep a prayer journal, they're just writing down their requests. Right? Because, you know, sometimes prayer can feel like I'm just making a list of requests. Lord, these are all the things that I need, you know. As I was talking about in one of the seminars, you know, you think that you can just push a button, and when you push a button, stuff's supposed to fall out. And, you know, if you push the button and no stuff falls out, then you feel like something's wrong. You know, my button's broken. That's the way people think of prayer a lot of times. But that's really not what prayer is. Prayer is talking to the Lord. And, you know, sometimes I actually keep a prayer journal, and one of the sections of my prayer journal is just love letters to the Father. And I write out love letters. Actually, it says love letters to Abba. That's what it says in my prayer journal. And those of you who watched the little mini clip that I had up yesterday, you know, Abba is closer to Daddy than it is to Father. And you can go back and watch that clip if you want a little bit more of a clarification of what I mean by the difference between Daddy and Father. But in my prayer journal, it says, you know, love letters to Abba. And I write out how much I love him. I write out the things that I'm thankful for. And on days when I don't feel that good and my emotions are trying to kick in, you know, my flesh is trying to kick in, then one of the things I can do is force my flesh to sit down and read through my prayer journal. Read through the things that I know that God has been to me in my life. Read through the intimate things that I've said to him. And, you know, one of the things that was so amazing to me, I was looking through an old prayer journal. It's it's probably maybe like four or five years old. I mean, from when me and my husband first got married, so at least 5 or 6 years old or so. And so many of the things that I had prayed in that journal, you know, one of the things I had prayed in the journal was, Lord, please don't ever let me, you know, stray from you. Let me always have this intimate relationship with you. Let me always have this closeness with you. And if you ever feel me straying away from you, draw me back to you. And I had written out all these things and just about, you know, not necessarily falling away from the Lord in terms of going into sin, but just not seeking him and not spending time with him and not allowing myself to have that intimacy. And so I had, you know, prayed this prayer, and it was so amazing because when I read the prayer over, and I mean, like I said, this is like a 5 or 6 year old prayer, I was able to see how many times in the last 5 or 6 years where I would start to drift and not spend time with the Lord, and then I would just feel him pulling me and pulling me and pulling me. And I had forgotten that I had made that prayer. I had forgotten that I had asked him, Abba, don't let me get too far away. I always want to have an intimate closeness with you. I always want you to be my Abba, and I always want to be your baby girl. And, you know, when you just allow yourself to be a child before the Lord, you know, the Bible says that, you know, we have to come to God as little children. And why is that different? Well, because if you say to a little child, the sky is blue, then they just believe you that the sky is blue. You know, if God says, I am your provider, then that little child is going to take him at his word, and he's going to believe that he's their provider. You know, I have a funny story. One of my friends, they have a little girl, and she's the cutest little girl, and she had a cut on her hand. And before she went to bed, she's about 5 years old, before she went to bed, she prayed for Jesus to heal her hand. And she woke up, and her hand was healed. And she runs downstairs, Daddy, Daddy, Jesus healed my boo-boo, Jesus healed my boo-boo. And she was so excited. But you know what? She had childlike faith. She believed. You know, she goes to Sunday school. She goes to a Christian church. Christian school, and she's taught about the Lord every day. You know, her parents are always teaching her about the Lord and about how he heals us and how he loves us. And so in her mind, if she said, Jesus, will you heal my boo-boo, he was going to heal it. And, you know, we have to have that childlike faith that when we ask the Lord for something, that he's going to do it. Well, how do you develop that childlike faith? One of the ways that I really developed my faith personally was through keeping that prayer journal. Now, some of the other things that we're going to talk about, and I've kind of just been talking and I haven't gotten into my talk that I had planned for today, so I'm going to kind of slow down and get into my talk, but those were just some things that were on my heart that I want to share. You know, it's time for us to make God a priority again. And so we're going to talk about some steps, specific steps, and I want you to write down these steps that you can take that are going to help you tear down those walls that have been separating you from the Lord. Step number one, and remember, we're writing these down. Step number one is developing an understanding of who God really is. Developing an understanding of who God really is. You know, like we said, like I said a little bit earlier, a lot of us know of God, but we don't necessarily know God. We know of him, but we don't necessarily know him personally. And so we have to develop an understanding of who God really is. A lot of the teachings in the church, if I'm just being quite honest, about who God is, are not very accurate. They're not even always biblical. You know, if you look at a lot of the songs that we even sing in church, some of the songs aren't biblical. Not all of them, you know. There are a lot of good churches out there. There are a lot of good songs out there. I personally go to an awesome church, and it's a spirit-filled church, and it's always filled with the Spirit of God, and it's an amazing place to be. And there are tons of those out there around the world. But what I really want to challenge you to do is not to take someone else's word for who God is. I don't want you to take someone else's word for who God is. I don't want you to take my word for who God is. I want you to sit down and go through who God says he is. And that is one of the key steps to developing a relationship with God and allowing God to begin tearing off those chains that have been binding you, is that you have to renew your mind to who he says he is. You know, he says he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides for you. He says that he's Jehovah Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies you and makes you holy. You know, you're not the one who makes you holy, but he's the one who makes you holy. He says that he is, there's just so many different things. He says he's El Shaddai. He says he's Adonai. He says, what I want you to do, I'm not even going to give you the definitions for all those things, because I want to leave you a little bit hungry, because I want you to take the time to begin researching. Who does God say he is? Who does he say he is? Who does my Father, the one who I serve, who does he say he is? You know, yeah, my pastor has an idea of who he is. Yeah, my Bible study teacher has an idea of who he is. But I want to know from the horse's mouth, so to speak. I want to know straight from his word who he says he is and who he says he'll be in my life. And as you do that and you begin researching, you know, a great thing to do is to look up, you know, go online and do a search for names of God in the Bible. And you will find so many different names, and it's actually one of the things that's going to be in the Reaching for the Hymn course that I'm going to be doing through the School of the Spirit. We're going to go through the different names of God and talk about what that reveals to us about who God is and who He wants to be in our lives. So if you're going to be joining in on that course, and this is something that you don't necessarily have to do because we're going to go through the actual scriptures, not what I say, but what God says. But if you're not planning on doing this course, I really want you to take the time and go through who God says He is and then just start writing it down. You know, keep a notebook and write down in your notebook who God says He is. Even if just every day you go through and find two scriptures that share who God says He is, and then the next day you just pull back open your notebook and you write down another two. You know, at the end of the day, you'll have six. At the end of the month, you'll have 60 different things that God says He is. It's just those little things that you can do that at the end that you know will make a huge difference. You know, if I tell you to do a Bible study on who God is, that seems like a huge task. But if I say, you know what, do a little bit of research and each day just find two things, find two names of God and what they mean, you know, that will change your entire perspective of who God is. Because, you know, a lot of the times we think that God's angry with us and we think that God's a wrathful, vengeful God. And, you know, a lot of times we hear more teaching about the wrath of God than we do about the love of God. But when you begin doing research on God and you say, God says that He is love. Well, when you hear that, it totally changes who God is in your heart. And, you know, perception is reality. Perception is reality. I want you to write that down. Perception is reality. What does that mean? Who you perceive God to be is going to shape your reality for your life, because that's going to be the God that you're trying to serve. You know, if I believe that God is the source of sickness, then it's going to be really hard for me to pray for Him to heal me, right? If I believe He made me sick so that I can learn something, it's going to be really hard for me to believe that He's going to heal me. So what am I saying there? My perception of who God is changes my reality. If I'm able to change my perception and say, okay, but He says He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals me, well, then now I have something to stand on when I'm going before Him and asking for something. Now I have something to stand on because I know for myself who He said He is.